On today's episode of Insights, how can you write great job descriptions? Matt and I go through a rapid-fire round of best places to share your jobs on social media, and we chat with Victoria Kenward, co-founder of Haley Marketing Group, about recent advances in the Haley Marketing job board. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. Want to stand out, stay top of mind, and sell more? Haley Marketing's philosophy is simple: to make great marketing more affordable. Whether you're looking to drive sales leads or attract more qualified candidates, we make it easy for you to stand out in a saturated market. To learn more, visit HaleyMarketing.com. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights. Tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome to another episode of Insights. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's recruitment marketing strategist, Matt Lozar. Matt, let's jump right in and get started with the content blueprint.
Content blueprint.
Matt, for past episodes of Insights, we've talked about content as blogs and written forms of content marketing. But I think when we think of content marketing and really content in general, for the staffing and recruiting industry, we need to think about job descriptions.
Brad, I think that that's accurate because we also talk about with driving traffic to websites, there's two really types of content that will consistently drive that organic traffic. We've talked about blogs, and now job descriptions, job postings are keyword rich filled, you know, help with search engine optimization. And I think like my number one tip for writing really strong job descriptions is to think about what's in it for me. And the hardest part for recruiters, for staffing agencies, with that question of what's in it for me, is it's not for them. It's for that job candidate. Because it has to be for the light industrial worker, the travel nurse, could be the full-time worker you're trying to place in accounting. Writing, creating that entire job description from the headline to the salary to the benefits to the number of words in the post, which we're going to dig into a little bit more, that's what needs to be important for your candidate audience.
Absolutely. You know, when you think about content in general, it's not about you. It's about the target audience. It's about how they see themselves in that role. We've talked about that before on Insights, and I love that you went into that just right off the bat. It's what's in it for the candidate. At 4% unemployment in other markets lower than that. I know I'm looking at physician recruiters lately and thinking about the medical industry, unemployment's around 3%. At that rate, we're targeting passive candidates. How can we get a passive candidate to go from job A to job B? How can we get somebody to go from one opportunity to another? So we need to look at job descriptions and what's in it for the applicant. Matt, let's get started. How can we create a perfect job description?
I wrote a blog earlier this year that talks about, you know, digging into the different areas. It's the ultimate guide to job descriptions in 2019 on HaleyMarketing.com. We'll put it in the show notes. I think you have to start first with the headline. And one of the pieces of information that we like to use on this podcast, Insights, is data. And a really great source of data comes from the company called AppCast. They're a, you know, programmatic software company that has a recruitment media benchmark report, and they'll look at different aspects of the job description. One of them is the headline or that job title. And they really just think, or excuse me, not think, the data shows that you just need 1 to 3 words in that job title. That in their data showed, you know, 7.6% application rate. Everything else was under 5%. So what can you do in just 1, 2, 3 words to grab the attention of your potential active or passive candidate to get them to click on that posting wherever they read it to engage with more of the content. So starting with the headline is a really good start. And then I know Brad's going to want to really jump into salary.
Yeah, Matt, I'm incredibly passionate about looking at salary and including salary in that job description. If you think about a passive candidate and you think about somebody who's looking for their next opportunity, they're ultimately looking to make more money. They're looking for a better sense of fulfillment. They're looking for a better career opportunity that takes them to the next step in their career. And really, that comes down to salary. I know in our consulting class that we have at Haley Marketing Group every Thursday morning, David Cern, CEO of Haley Marketing, brought up salary, and we were looking at two jobs that a client had posted. And when we looked at those jobs, there were significantly higher applications for the job posted that had a salary included compared to a job posted that did not have a salary included. And if we think about why, it's because that passive candidate might not be ready for their next opportunity, but they're looking. They're passively looking. And if that salary is higher than what they're currently making, then they're ready to take the leap. They're ready to at least try. And I think that's important. So we need to include salary in every single job description that we post.
I think that next part, you know, after salary, because that's almost the carrot to get someone in. You have the title, you have the salary, but then right away, what's in it for the job candidate? And think about, you know, what's one sentence, two sentences that you can highlight at the top of that post that stand out? And it shouldn't be about the job description, the job qualifications. It could be, is this, you know, a second or third shift job? Because some people may want that job. Is this with a company that really values community service? Think about a unique, you know, value proposition essentially for this company, for this job, that's going to get the candidate to then, you know, scroll further down the post or maybe move over to apply. And one little caveat I want to add there is, you know, can you format it in a little bit different way? Can you make that bold? Can you make it italics? Have it really stand out? Because if somebody's quickly looking on their phone, they might scroll past. But if it's font or, you know, the text is a little bit different, they're more likely to read it.
Matt, in line with formatting, I think we need to make that description easily searchable as well. And oftentimes I see clients posting abbreviations or they're posting different job titles that make it, I don't know, maybe catchy, maybe captivating to a select few users. You know, you have something like a coding ninja. How many people are really searching for coding ninja though? They're searching for software engineer. They're searching for the actual job title that they're looking to pursue. They're not looking for coding wizard, coding ninja. And I understand that that sets you apart, that makes you a little different from the crowd. But maybe once they get that job, then you change their job title. Or during the interview, you say, hey, we were hiring for a software engineer, but here at Haley Marketing Group, we call people coding ninjas. We have fun titles for people. But in that job description and even in that job title, make sure it's very specific to what that end user is searching for.
Brad, that's a really good point. And I think the key there is the coding ninja can work if you're trying to grab that passive candidate on a social media and an email marketing, because that stands out. But if we're looking at an SEO, at a search engine optimization viewpoint, that's not going to work well because people probably aren't going to Google to search for that. They're going to Google to search for the software engineer. Then my last point I think we want to bring up as we get close to the end of the segment is just the length of the post. We don't want it to be a library book. We want it to be, you know, 300 to 800 words is a pretty good guide. And that's a wide range, but keep it into consumable content. You know, think about some bullet points, you know, try out different lengths. And there's no really set formula. There are some guidelines. You know, we'll recap them at the end of the show where we're talking about with headline length or with, you know, length of the post or number of benefits. You know, use those as guides, but then do some A/B testing on your own. Perform those tests and really learn and analyze the data to see what's working for your candidate audience.
Matt, ultimately, I think your job descriptions come down to another form of content. We need to be thinking about the headline. We need to be thinking about the target audience, and we need to be thinking about readability. We need to think about how that is being searched in search engines. Yes, we want them to be captivating, but it comes down to that end user knowing your target audience and knowing what's in it for them. That was a big point that you kept bringing up during this segment, is knowing what's in it for the end applicant. Don't write your job description based on what you would read. Think about the end user, the end applicant, and what they want to see in their next role.
Social reach.
Matt, I'm excited for this segment. For social reach this week, we are going to do a rapid fire of where you can share your jobs on social media. At Haley Marketing Group, we're always looking for new and exciting ways to leverage social media to the end user, to our clients that we work with. So we want to make sure that we're using social to generate more applications for the clients we work with. So if we think about where you can post jobs on social media, we're here to give you a rapid fire take on where you can post those jobs. Matt, you want to get started or you want me to?
I will let the listeners know at home, Brad doesn't even have notes.
No notes.
He is so confident in his abilities that he doesn't even have notes and will probably beat me anyway.
So when we started talking about this segment, we said, let's put together a list. We'll think about all the places that we can share jobs on social media, and we'll see who the last man standing is. I'm confident in where we can share jobs on social media. I'm confident in what I know here, Matt, and I'm ready to get started, but I'm going to let you start. So where can we share our jobs on social media? And I do want to offer a bit of a disclaimer here. If we're talking about a company profile or a personal profile, I'm going to ask that you include that in your post or in your update here, because we want the listeners to understand where that post should be.
I'm going to start with Facebook jobs. We've talked about that a lot on the podcast, and it's simple. It's free, and it can work very well for that industrial audience, that, you know, CSR, that, you know, healthcare as well. Take your posting from the website, copy that over, you know, rewrite it a little bit for social media, post it on Facebook jobs, and have applications get sent to one of your recruiters.
I'm going to say you take that job from your job board and you share it directly as a company update on your company Facebook page. So you have now hiring. You include all of the description that you want to include. You include captivating, thumb-stopping imagery so that the end user sees that and they click on it where they can ultimately apply to that opportunity. But my point here is going to be to post on your company Facebook page.
Let's stay on Facebook, keep things easy, and I'll dig more into Facebook groups. You know, a couple of episodes before, we've looked at Facebook groups on jobs in Buffalo, New York, jobs in, you know, that DMV, Washington, Virginia, Maryland area. Take your jobs, put them into the groups where a lot of people are going to look for jobs. Share your content there.
I'm going to say share your jobs on your personal Facebook profile. And the reason we want to do that is because we're looking for referrals. At 4% unemployment, we don't know who is looking for their next opportunity. So we want to share available opportunities through our personal Facebook profiles.
We're getting closer on Facebook. I want to go with Facebook Live. It's a little bit of a unique opportunity, but if you could have a live update with, you know, a recruiter in your office, a couple of recruiters in your office, Facebook Live can work very well. A lot of people receive notifications either on desktop or mobile when you go live. And that video also gets archived, which your followers can then engage with and read at a later date.
Matt, this one's going to be on your list, I'm sure, but you could run Facebook ads built around your available job opportunities, and you can target your ATS list so that your list sees your ads and sees the available job opportunities that you have.
Let's go to Twitter, and I'm just going to say Twitter. Let's post jobs on Twitter. There aren't a lot of really fun features there. You could use hashtags.
Hey, whoa.
That's not a different way to post. It's just a way to optimize your post to drive more traffic. But to use Twitter from one of your profiles and share that content to where people are searching for news.
See, I'm going to disagree that a hashtag is not a viable opportunity. And I'm going to say to start a Twitter chat. So start a chat based around Western New York jobs or Lehigh Valley jobs, where every Friday you go live with a Twitter chat. You advertise your top opportunities. You advertise your top questions that you might have for the local market. But you start a community and you start some involvement where people can start to talk about the available opportunities in your local area. But much like a TV show, they know every Friday at 2 p.m. that Twitter chat exists. And you can run a Twitter chat by using that hashtag, hashtag Western New York jobs, hashtag Lehigh Valley jobs. But I'm going to say to start a Twitter chat.
Friday afternoon Twitter chat might get some good responses.
Thank you.
Let's shift to LinkedIn, and this might be a paid option, but LinkedIn jobs will work very well in that more of a full-time capacity or maybe a contractor capacity in the IT world, and is also a good way to increase the follower count of your page, because one of those little known facts is if someone applies for your job through LinkedIn, they automatically become a follower of your company page. So if it's right for your audience, look at LinkedIn jobs.
So you mentioned posting on Twitter as the company. How about joining the conversation on Twitter and using advanced search to look for all of the individuals who are talking about jobs in your area? So using Twitter's advanced search, you can look for a specific string of keywords, jobs in Buffalo, work in Buffalo. Look for every account that's mentioning that. And then as you see those individuals saying those keywords, join the conversation. Hey, Brad, looks like you're looking for a job in Buffalo. We have a ton available on our job board. Apply to one today. We'd love to chat.
I'm going to stay on LinkedIn and do LinkedIn groups. And the one key here is it's very similar to Facebook groups. You know, look for similar titles, but on LinkedIn, you have to be very careful with not spamming a group because LinkedIn tries to foster a lot of real discussion, but there's usually a tab in the group. So look for that LinkedIn group tab that talks about jobs. Read some of the group rules and policies to make sure you're not sharing content the moderators of those groups are not looking to see. So look at LinkedIn groups and find the jobs tab.
I'm going to go back to Twitter and say that you should be running content on Twitter. How about video content on Twitter where you're posting those videos maybe once a week, you're sharing available opportunities, you're running a Q&A from recruiters, but you're showcasing that Twitter information, you're showcasing job information on Twitter rather, but you're using that as a viable platform. Maybe you're even going live on Twitter through Periscope. I don't want to share two tips there. I'm sorry if I did, but using video and leveraging video on Twitter.
Let's leverage video on LinkedIn and post videos on LinkedIn. You could use a hashtag such as the Matt Minute, shameless plug there, where you can post your own videos on LinkedIn. They can be up to 10 minutes in length, I believe. And
that's correct.
It's been a really good option for recruiters or staffing agencies or any professionals to create content, to use video in a different capacity other than what we've, you know, traditionally seen in a Facebook.
I'm going to say run ads on Twitter. And the reason that I think we can run ads on Twitter about our available job opportunities is because I think the competition level is low there. Everyone's looking at Facebook because Facebook works. They're looking at LinkedIn because of the database of individuals on LinkedIn. So let's build a target persona on Twitter and showcase our available job opportunities rather on Twitter.
My LinkedIn list is not exhausted, but I'm going to say this before Brad steals it.
Come on.
I think YouTube cannot be ignored. It's one of my bigger pushes this year is just to leverage YouTube. I mean, it is the second biggest search engine in the world. And the amount of content that gets shared on YouTube is enormous, but the amount of time that gets spent on YouTube is also enormous. And that's one of the things we always have to think about with our audience. Where is our audience spending time? If your audience is spending time on YouTube, your content needs to be there.
Matt, for anybody that is interested in leveraging YouTube, I do want to mention that it is critical to have a thumb-stopping thumbnail to make sure that that thumbnail cover photo is critical for your video. That's something that I've been passionate about lately. I'm not going to use that as my point here. I just want to chime in there as well. If we look at LinkedIn, I think we should also be sharing jobs on personal LinkedIn accounts. So as you log in as yourself, share various opportunities throughout the week. Showcase your hot jobs. Showcase the top jobs that you're actively sourcing and showcase those through your personal LinkedIn profile.
A small corollary there is just LinkedIn company pages. We've hit pretty hard on Twitter and Facebook, but same, you know, very similar content, won't be as personalized, but LinkedIn company pages.
Matt, I'm trying to keep up here. I'm writing down everything as we're saying it. I'm going to bounce over to Reddit and look at local subreddits and share jobs in local subreddits. Look for subreddits like Atlanta Jobs, Buffalo Jobs, Western New York Jobs. And if you're unfamiliar with Reddit, I do want to take a step here, Matt, just to explain what Reddit is. So Reddit is...
Please do, because I don't even know really what Reddit is.
Sure. So Reddit is a social platform that's all about the community, all about conversation, asking questions, joining the conversation. But if we look at local subreddits, it's essentially a group. So you think about Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups. Subreddits are locations where like-minded individuals can essentially hang out and talk about similar concepts, similar themes. So if we look for local subreddits, Western New York Jobs, Buffalo Jobs, 716 Jobs, for example, and we look in those local subreddits, it's all individuals who are looking for job opportunities. Now, we don't want to just join and spam job after job after job, but we want to join the conversation when we can. So I'm going to switch over to Reddit and say, post your job opportunities in local subreddits.
We're ignoring, as Brad would say, the social media platform that is hot in the streets and Instagram, where it's more of a celebrity world. But I think Instagram, it's a little bit difficult just because organic posts on Instagram, you can't really have a link in the post. But any way you can really showcase your team, your culture, maybe employees that you've placed, that's the type of content that can help with brand awareness and really make a connection with your target audience.
I'm going to stay on Instagram and say that you should run a successful Instagram story, that you should be showcasing anytime you're at a job fair, you're at a local event, showcase the story and really build that story out. Think about the rising action, the middle, that climax, and then the falling action. Think about the whole creative literature mentality of creating a story, but your story and posting jobs and opportunities there on a daily basis are a great way to leverage jobs. Matt, your turn.
My list has two things left, and I'm going to go with Snapchat ads because I think it works very well. I believe it was McDonald's that had a way you could basically...
Snaplocations.
Had a way you could apply for a job on four jobs at McDonald's, America's Best First Job. And I saw actually a stat on Twitter today, the day we're recording, that McDonald's takes 20 million applications a year for 2 million jobs. That's a lot. The way they've leveraged Snapchat is a lot of, you know, teenagers or that demographic is has worked at McDonald's probably since Ray Kroc invented it a long time ago. And going to Snapchat, which is where the audience lives, is a great place to get Snaplocations. I wouldn't really suggest it for a lot of companies, but if it's going to work for yours, if your audience is going to be there, think about Snapchat.
Matt, you threw me off on Snaplocations. I'm not going to lie. I did not expect you to go there. I'm going to say if you want to share your jobs on social media, also think about Medium and posting content on Medium, but using it in a way that leverages not only opportunities, but also showcases who you are as an employer. Sure, it's more of a blogging platform, but Medium is still rising as an opportunity, as a content creation, let's say content management system. We want to showcase opportunities there as well. So I'm going to say post content that ultimately include jobs on Medium.
My last one, and this isn't probably going to drive a lot of direct applications, but I think if you're target persona is on Pinterest, a way you can build your company profile there. I know some ideas a couple years ago was to create like a career dream board or a job board, or it's a very visual platform, has skewed very heavily female over time. So if I know that gets in a little bit of male versus female, but if your target persona is there and you want to build part of your overall recruitment marketing and company brand awareness, Pinterest could be a way to really just showcase your organization in a different light.
Yeah, and I can stay on Pinterest there too, Matt. Thinking about how to showcase job opportunities by also showcasing career opportunities in the form of how to dress for an interview, how to dress for success on day one is a great way to leverage Pinterest as well and build that board so that as people find the board, they learn about who you are and then learn about your job opportunities. My last point here, Matt, since you said you've exhausted your list, is going to be SlideShare, which is another platform on LinkedIn. But showcase a SlideShare of your available opportunities on a biweekly basis. Maybe it's 5 opportunities that you have. Wrap those up into a great, eye-catching, thumb-stopping SlideShare that captivates attention and drives people to actually apply for those available opportunities.
The rapid fire segment wasn't very rapid, but you know, if you have any other ideas, you know, listeners of the show, please share them in the comments. We're always looking to learn more, and hopefully this was helpful. And Brad did not win. I think we'll call that a draw. And
of course,
that's a pretty good way to wrap up segment two.
Seen and heard.
At this time, we'd like to welcome on Victoria Kenward, co-founder and chief operating officer of Haley Marketing Group. Vicky, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. I'm really happy to be here. It's my first time on a podcast.
It's great to have you. We're excited to have you on the show. Vicky, you do a lot for Haley Marketing. Give us a quick background of your role at Haley Marketing Group and how you assist our prospects and our clients.
So I am the operations side of the business. David and I are equal partners. He's the front end. I'm the back end. He sells stuff. He makes up ideas. He tells everybody what they're going to do, and then I make it happen. So I am responsible not just for infrastructure, the technology, innovations in our product changes, adjustments to features when things happen. I also have 4 departments that report to me. So our project managers, anything that's a one-off project, like a website, collateral, wrapping a bus, it doesn't matter what it is. Then they work with our creative team, who reports to me. And that could be web developers, videographers, whatever it is. Additionally, I have our success team. So our client success team is responsible for making sure that our clients are really successful with all of our products. They know everything, and they answer any question that our client can throw at them, whether it's our product or something else. They're really great. And then finally, I have the tech team. So our tech team's responsible for making sure that our websites are working, our job boards are doing what they're supposed to be doing, but also to do job development. All of our products need to be improved kind of daily. We release once a month. So they're responsible for all of that.
It's certainly a lot of hats at Haley Marketing Group. And talking about the tech team is a perfect segue here. On top of other improvements, our tech team has made some remarkable advances to our job board in the past 6 to 12 months. What are you most proud of?
So we make our choices on what we're going to put into the job board or into our other products based on responses from our clients. So what are we seeing in the success team? I read every single support ticket to make sure I'm really aware of what's going on in the world. And one of the big things that happened was we found that candidates weren't filling out our applications. They were too long. So we worked really hard to revamp the entire application process. We realized that about 50% of applicants were coming in on their mobile phone, and we wanted to make that as simple as possible. Something like a resume, you don't normally have that on your phone, so you can't apply with a resume. So we had to find ways to get around that. We saw a great increase in conversion. I don't have the numbers. You guys can present that, but really impressive stuff. We also noticed that, you know, Indeed made changes. The workforce has changed. There's just a lot less people looking for jobs right now. So we are increasing distribution of our jobs. We're putting them out on new partners. We've got organic places we're sending the jobs. We're also working on where we can sponsor jobs. We've added in Boost, which promotes your jobs to a single job to a network of 50 to 100 job boards and career websites. We added an ROI dashboard to all of our products so that you can see and make sure that you're getting a return on your investment. We want you to know what's working, what's not working. So, and then we have a new product coming out with our recruitment marketing product that Matt can speak to more than I can, but there's a lot of technology involved in that as well.
One thing I love about all the advances is it really comes down to accessibility. And Matt and I have talked about accessibility on the show before, where you really need to be where the candidate is and how they want to apply. Matt, you did some research for recruitment marketing looking into the conversion metrics of different applications. Why don't you tell us what you found when you looked into that data?
Yeah, thanks, Brad. And Vicky alluded to this, a couple minutes ago, but one of the things we like to really analyze and improve is candidate application flow. And they'll go, find the job on, it could be on a publisher, it could be on the actual job board on the staffing agency's website. They would click on that job posting and eventually click apply online. And we wanted to look at, the data I pulled was looking how many people clicked on apply online and actually converted to the job. And as Vicky talked about in the tech team and a lot of their process was how to improve that process, because candidate recruitment has been very hard for a couple of years, and it doesn't appear to be getting any easier. So the data we have showed, I looked at October to February, October 2017 to February 2018, and compared it to these past 5 months. That first set, the conversion rate was 38.9%, which sounds pretty good. That was with the older, longer application, and is especially on mobile devices, harder to fill out.
Matt, I just want to hop in real quick. You said 2017 to 2018. I want to make sure we got the year right for our listeners. So we went 2017 to 2018 and then compared to this past year.
Yeah, compared then like October 2018, February 2019. That data, 46.5% conversion rate. What's that mean? The conversion rate with the new shorter application was 19.5%. Like that's an enormous difference, because that's just not a couple of percent. That's, obviously nearly 20%, but as we see mobile traffic go up, it's over 50% on our job boards. People don't have resumes easily accessible. Like, how many people have a resume on their phone? Very small amount. So the way we can just grab that information, which really focuses on, name, email, phone number, to go to a recruiter to give them those leads into their inbox, into their ATS, and then they can follow up and get more information from those candidates.
As we look at different applications and different processes that clients show us, every now and again, we'll see somebody ask for the last six of a social security number on an application. Matt, you're smiling already, and I was going to pass it to Vicky, but Matt, you're jumping here. Go for it. What do you think about that?
I might actually ask Vicky this question, but there is a client sent me an email literally an hour before we taped this that said, You've been harping on me to remove the field for last four digits of the social security number. What can we do to use as an identifier in our ATS? Because we have 17 John Smiths. So how can we, that's really the reason why people have it on their application. So what can we do to create an identifier in the ATS?
Well, most ATSs no longer use social security number as, I mean, it's just bad practice in today's world. Most will use an email address because that is one person typically. We do find that that isn't flawless completely, but it is a best practice. And I definitely would get away from social security numbers.
You think about a light industrial job, putting through your social security number, you don't need that before I apply to a job. You want it to be as efficient as possible for that applicant who might be watching Jeopardy at night. The commercial hits, they're scrolling through Facebook, they see an ad, now they apply. They can all do that within a couple clicks, right? We want to make it as efficient and effective as possible. Matt's laughing here. I know you can't see the recording here, but I'm a personal Jeopardy lover, big fan of Jeopardy, so I had to throw that in there.
Shout out to Alex Trebek. Hope you feel better.
Of course, of course. Vicky, another core initiative of yours is providing shareworthy service at Haley Marketing Group. As we look at the next 6 months, what are a few things staffing firms can do to provide shareworthy service to their candidates?
You have to make your candidate experience better. So when was the last time you went to your website with an open mind and sat there and said, well, let me apply for a job. Go search for a job. How easy is it to do? I go to click the apply. What do you have to do? Do you jump through hoops? No one's going to do that. They'll just go to your competitor right next door on the web. You need to really think about, how does that feel? What is it experience? Are you building trust with that candidate when you're going through this process? Then I would say, as soon as you got that applicant and that candidate's in your database, what are you doing to communicate with that person? Are you keeping them warm? They're a lead. You just spent a lot of money to get that person to show up on your website. Are you using that? Are you getting a return on that investment? I talk a lot about a return on investment at Haley Marketing Group, but every dollar you spend, you should get $6 in return. So are you sending them job alerts? Are you sending marketing messages? Have you created a newsletter for your candidates so that you're communicating with them? Have you gotten on the phone and said, hey, I just want to talk about what you're looking for? Those things are important. Candidates are your second customer, and you have to treat them that way.
I think you made a great point about actually going in, and I would challenge you as you're listening now, take Vicky's advice and pull open your website on your mobile device, but first set a timer and actually apply for a job and see how long it takes to go through the application process as a candidate. I know I was speaking last year, and in a crowded room of owners and CEOs, I asked the question, when was the last time you actually applied to one of your own jobs, or who has applied to their own job? And only two hands went up, and they didn't know how long it actually took them to go through the application. They gave up. I mean, for me, it starts there. The candidate experience is so critical. Matt, as we look at recruitment marketing from looking at shareworthy service, what can staffing companies do to cut through the clutter and cut through the noise to really differentiate themselves, to stand out from the clutter?
I'm going to dig back to one of our previous episodes where we, in the Seen and Heard segment, talked about that Smashfly recruitment marketing benchmark report. And 95% of companies with a talent network are only sending job postings. That's an enormous number. So one out of 20 of the top 500 companies in the, you know, Fortune 500 are sending information, content, anything that is helpful to that job seeker to develop that relationship. And whatever you can do to think about your audience, whatever you can do to send them content, information, obviously some job postings, but that can help them, you know, to stay employed, to stay placed, to keep them, you know, providing salary, providing food and anything to their family. What can you do to send them to develop that long-term relationship? So like Vicky said earlier, you know, if you have a bad application, they're going to go to your competitor down the street. If you just don't give them a really good experience, if you don't build that trust in that brand with them, they're going to leave you for your competitor down the street because they pay 5 cents more an hour. So really show different ways you trust, you care about the candidate, and really develop that relationship through whatever communication you have.
If you haven't seen the Smashfly Recruitment Marketing Benchmark Report, we'll put a link to that report in the show notes so that you can access your own copy. For me, Shareworthy Service really comes down to communication. And to piggyback on our last episode of Insights, Ryan Marr mentioned a study discussed at the 2019 Executive Forum. And when asked what could improve with the recruiting process, 60% of candidates said communication. People just want to be heard. They want to make sure their questions are being answered. They want to make sure that they're being responded to, and they want to know where they are in the process, as Matt alluded to and as Vicky alluded to as well. They want to know where they stand. If they're not qualified for the job, that's okay. Let them know. Don't leave people in a black hole where they're just waiting for your next communication. Actually tell them where they are in the process and ease them through that recruiting process. Vicky, we want to thank you for coming on this episode and sharing your insights with our listeners. You're welcome back anytime, but thank you very much for coming on this episode of Insights.
Thanks, guys.
That's our time for today, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast player or tweet us at Haley Marketing. To stay current with Insights and the interview portion of Secrets of Staffing Success, hosted by Todd Lewandowski, please remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. That's iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Podbean, Stitcher, or listen on HaleyMarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. Check out HaleyMarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. We'll see you next time.